This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Wednesday, March 30th, 2022. Good morning and welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us on this Wednesday morning. So good to be with you once again. On Wednesdays, I always take a moment to encourage you to go to Joseph, to pray to Saint Joseph and invoke his powerful intercession. I also want to remind you that the Ten Commandments are more than just rules. They're how we love God every day. And in fact, later this morning, you can join Relevant Radio's Josh Raymond on The Inner Life at 11 a.m. Central Time for the last episode of a special three-part mini-series with Father Matthew Spencer. Learn the ins and outs of what the Ten Commandments tell us about God and tell us about ourselves and just how they practically fit into our daily lives. If you can't listen live this morning, a little bit later on this morning, grab the Inner Life podcast at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app, and you can check out the entire series as well. Once again, the Russian invasion of Ukraine continues to make headlines with day 35 this morning. We begin by checking in with our Relevant Radio news anchor, Glenn Leverance. Glenn, what is the latest? What's going on this morning?
Well, things continue, of course, not only in Ukraine, but in Russia, too. Some of the first reports of Russian territory being hit, reportedly rockets being launched from Ukraine to blow up an ammo dump across the border in Russia. Also across the border in Belarus, Russian troops retreating to regroup, something that they say happens in kind of a classical old-style battle like this one after about a month into the conflict. Also speaking to trouble that Russia has been having, they say, in terms of logistics and resupplying those closer to the front line. And some of the numbers, John, in terms of refugees, to really put this whole thing in into scope, my goodness, 10 million people have been displaced. That's in a country of 40 million people, a little more than 40 million. In the U.S., that would be like if 82 million people had to leave their homes in the past month alone. And Ukraine, then 4 million people leaving the country, 4 million refugees crossing borders. In the U.S., you know, that would be like 33 million people just in the past month, mostly walking across the border to escape the country, and half of the kids being displaced from their homes. What a tragedy that is. Those are some of the numbers, John, that are just amazing. On a happier note, someone who's changing where they live, Mark Vandehei, an American astronaut, has been in the International Space Station for 10 days under 1 year, 355 days in space, and he's returning home. He'll be landing this morning. Kind of a neat note. My wife, who works in radio, got to talk with him about a month ago, you know, while he's up there and she's down here, and interview him for about 10 minutes, asking a variety of questions, including one from our 9-year-old neighbor girl who wants to be an astronaut someday, asking what he does for fun, you know. And he actually does, with one of my questions, answer, look out the window a lot. He spends every day about 20 minutes starting the day looking out across the vast vistas of space, including the beautiful Earth there. And so he's coming back after setting a record in space.
That had to be a fascinating conversation by your wife. Can you imagine looking out the window and seeing Mother Earth outside your window? It's got to be just amazing.
Yeah, he said that never gets old. That never is not amazing.
You know, back to the stats that you were sharing with us about Ukraine. Those are some really big numbers that you just shared. You know, over 4 million have left Ukraine. But to put it in perspective, the majority of those people have gone to Poland. Of course, they've gone to other neighboring countries. But we're talking about 2.3 million people going to Poland. And the way that the Polish people have taken them in has been remarkable. I mean, it's been an amazing show of charity, taking these refugees into their homes. And also Romania has taken in more than 600,000. Again, this is according to the latest United Nations reports.
You know, one of the things that came out after 9/11 from, of all people, Mr. Rogers, right, children's television star, said for kids to look for the helpers, you know, to try and help our kids make something good out of looking all this at all this tragedy. Look for those that are helping. And my goodness, in Poland and Romania, other neighboring countries, they've certainly helped a lot. Some beautiful stories of welcoming those who are fleeing. And we're given that example in Scripture. You know, we're supposed to remember how the Israelites were rescued time and time again by foreigners. And that's something that we need to continue to do today.
Absolutely. You know, I can't help but think of last Friday's beautiful consecration by our Holy Father of Ukraine and Russia. And you just wonder, you know, the fruits are going to work behind the scenes at some point. You know, we don't know when, but, you know, there was a lot of optimism that perhaps with some of these reports that the Russian troops might be withdrawing, that things might be moving in a more positive note. But there's also a lot of skepticism from the U.S. and from the other Western countries.
Yeah, I mean, the timing, you know, worked out nicely with, you know, thinking it was tied to that, and may well be, but Russia continues to hit very hard through the air, both with dropping bombs and launching artillery shells, even though they're withdrawing the ground troops back, especially from Kyiv. So, you know, I think some good news in there for sure.
And one little sports note that I'm sure you noticed with the NFL. What's going on with the latest rules change?
Well, rules change affecting overtime, giving both teams a chance to touch the ball, which I would have helped the Vikings through the years. So
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah, it seems so unfair. I think I heard a stat that 10 of the last 12 coin flips have gone to the winning team. So it just didn't seem fair that the other team didn't get to even touch the ball.
Well, I mean, defense is good, but sometimes you like to be able to bring both sides of the ball to play to get your team over the hump to victory, definitely.
All right. Well, as always, if anything breaks on Ukraine, let us know. Thanks, Glenn.
Hey, sure thing, John. Yep.
We begin every morning and every hour in prayer, especially continuing to pray for peace in Ukraine with Russia, asking our Lord through the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Mother of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the playbook of life is from 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all men, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, godly and respectful in every way." The Apostle St. Paul reminds us to pray for our leaders. That means to pray for our government, to pray for our president, to pray for Congress. Our country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, and our nation needs prayer at this time in history more than ever before. We also need our Lord Jesus Christ more than ever. We may not agree with our president or our governor or some other public official, but Scripture asks us to pray for them because we're still one nation under God. We always pray with great confidence, "Jesus, I trust in you." Now, I want to switch gears and talk about the reality of spiritual warfare. In fact, spiritual warfare right in our very own homes. According to experts, demons are often concentrated in areas where sinful and especially the occult behavior takes place, even in front of the television. Demons have been found on the main chair in front of the TV. Why is there a pattern in places where there's televisions? I recently spoke with an exorcist and a regular contributor to Morning Air, Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, about demons from television. Monsignor Rossetti is a licensed psychologist and associate professor at Catholic University of America in the School of Theology and Religious Studies, as well as the chaplain of the Washington Nationals. Monsignor Rossetti is also the author of Diary of an American Exorcist, Demons, Possession, and the Modern Day Battle Against Ancient Evil. Listen to my conversation with Monsignor Stephen Rossetti. Monsignor Rossetti, welcome back to Morning Air. It's great to be with you once again. Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Good morning, John. It's great to be with you all.
Monsignor, drawing from your experience as an exorcist, why have exorcists found a pattern of demons, even in front of the television, on a chair in front of a TV?
Well, you mentioned, John, that demons are given, you have an opening whenever you commit sins or occult behaviors. You know, you're going to find demons in places. So, for example, whenever we find an infested house, one of the first things you do is you say, you know, what was going on in that house before these people arrived? So, for example, one house that was deeply infested, turned out that the previous owner was a child molester, sad to say, and into the occult. And so when they moved in, the house was, you know, they had all sorts of things going on in the house until we exorcised it. Another case, it was a drug house. And there was a shootout, there was sex trafficking, and all sorts of evil things took place, and that house was deeply infested. So anytime there is sexual sins, violent sins, drugs, whatever, that can invite the demons in. Now, in a lesser way, when we've done a lot of house exorcisms, we found that we use spiritual sensitives, people who have a special gift that we discern, and they have an awareness of where the demonic is focused. And typically we found in the chair in front of the television. And I noticed that over the years. I said, you know, every time we go to a place that's got a problem, you know, the main chair in front of the TV has some demons on it. We're sitting there going, you know, why is that? But when you start to think about it, you can realize why. I mean, a lot of the stuff on the television might not be explicitly pornographic, but it's not good. And it's soft porn and a lot of violence and a lot of occult stuff. So I think we need to be careful.
Absolutely. Monsignor, I think in order to truly understand this phenomenon of demons around televisions, we have to have a spiritual perspective on life and understand that we are in a spiritual battle, a battle between good and evil. These demons and obviously Satan really do exist, and they find all types of means of getting to us.
Yes, it's de fide. It's part of our faith that there's Satan and demons. I mean, for 2,000 years, Jesus cast out demons, you know, so this is a part of our faith. And also it tells us that our behavior makes a difference. When we do holy things, it strengthens God's presence in a place, and if there's enough of it, then it really becomes a sacred place. But if we do evil things, it has an effect. It's a cumulative effect, and what will happen is the demons will get stronger and stronger, and the worse it gets, the more power they have in a place.
If you have a question or a comment for Monsignor Rossetti about this issue of demons in your home, demons possibly in front of your television, we are taking calls 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Monsignor Rossetti, can you talk about the importance of understanding what you watch on TV can affect us, even if we think that, it's not really going to do anything?
Well, sure. You know, a lot of the stuff tweaks our passions in a bad way. Again, it might not be explicitly pornographic, or maybe we're so used to all this sex and violence on TV and all this witchcraft and stuff that we think it's normal. But it's really not. Here's one thing I've started doing, you know, because I'm learning from all this too, you know. So I've started to be, when I turn on the television, I say a little prayer. I say, Lord, what is it you want me to see? You know, and so I really do, what I, there's a show on TV, I said, is this really what the Lord wants me to watch? You know, is it uplifting? Is it inspiring? Does it inform us in a good way? Or is it entertaining in a bad way? And so that's a good prayer to say. And it have an effect. I mean, you want to, when you finish watching television, you should be a better person because of it. If you're not, then maybe this, what you're doing, is actually feeding the dark world.
Monsignor Rossetti, what we watch on television, can it actually go as far to influence a person with a demonic or oppress or even possess somebody just from what they're watching?
I haven't seen anyone get possessed because of it. Now, maybe some people do, but I haven't seen it yet. But I do see where it has an effect. We were in a building not long ago, and there's all sorts of things happening in the building. There's an infestation, a demonic infestation, and people are doing sinful things. And then what happens is you've got these strong presence of the demonic in a place, and they foster evil things. I mean, they can't make you do, but their influence is stronger. One of the signs, for example, of a strong demonic presence is chaos and discord and conflict. There's a title for Satan, causa discordiae, cause of discord. So when you're in a place and you see this incredible amount of conflict and discord, you might think to yourself, you know, this place could use a blessing. And that's why I encourage people to have your house blessed, have that chair in front of the TV blessed, and use some holy water. And so fill your house with holy things.
Monsignor, how have you seen and how have you dealt with this situation in terms of getting the demons out of a home, and especially, you know, perhaps right in front of the TV? What needs to be done in that situation?
Usually, it's not too bad. Just a little bit of holy water and a prayer or two would be fine. The best thing a family can do, by the way, is in that family room, you know, once a week or so, sit down, do a family rosary. I tell you, Our Lady is just a powerful presence. Her heel crushes Satan's head, as the scriptures tell us. So I'd say that family rosary would be great. A little bit of holy water, put a blessed, you gotta have a blessed crucifix over your bed. These sacramentals make a huge difference. You know, when we're in an exorcism, what do? Besides saying the rite of exorcism, we use sacramentals. We hold up a crucifix. We use holy water. We have a relic of the saints. We say the litany of the saints, the litany of Loretto. So we use all those things that are available to the people to use them. Yeah, it has the power of Christ in the church, and the demons start screaming and they, you know, running out of the room when Jesus is present.
Monsignor Rossetti, if you think about it, you know, television in and of itself it can either be used for good or for evil. Obviously, we see some of these horrible things on television, but it can also be a beautiful positive. You know, on any given night, you could watch the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky. You could watch the Mass. There's great, inspiring movies that one can watch. And obviously, you can watch, you know, Major League Baseball, which I know is one of your loves. It doesn't have to be all dark. In other words, it's what we can make choices as to what we want to watch.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was at the Holy See, but when John Paul II was the Pope, and his apartment's overlooks the plaza there and the square. And a light was on, and I was talking to another priest, and he said, the Pope's probably watching, you know, some European soccer match. So he was a real, they call it football, but we call it soccer, but he was a real soccer fan. That's a wonderful thing. I'm sure he could use a little downtime and watching a nice soccer match. So I do watch Major League Baseball, of course, and I'm rooting for our Nats. And I was just down in Palm Beach for the spring training, so we're excited the season's about to start. I certainly will be tuning in.
Absolutely, and we'll definitely be talking about this with you in the weeks to come. We have time for Aaron, who's calling us from Appleton, Wisconsin. Aaron, good morning. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Monsignor Rossetti.
Good morning. I just had a quick question. So the television, I don't remember the saint, but they said that there'd be a black box in every house with that would be a tabernacle of Satan, basically. And I know that the television is often seen as that, but I can't imagine that computers also would be such a source of evil in a home. And I was just wondering Monsignor's thoughts on computers and the internet and such in every single house in America.
Well, as John mentioned, I think technology is morally neutral. It can be used for good things and for bad things. And for example, I mean, you watch EWTN, you listen to Relevant Radio, this is technology, and it's being used for good things. And you can see how you and I are both listening today and being inspired by the people on. I just enjoyed the previous segment about when God doesn't answer our prayers. It was nice. I was inspired by that. So it can be used for good. It can be used for ill. Same way for computers. For example, our ministry, our www.catholicexorcism.org. I've got a blog, and my book, as John mentioned. We use technology to promote these and to publish these, and so technology can be a great thing, but it can be used for evil as well.
Thanks so much, Aaron. We have time for a quick call from Linda, who's in Phoenix. Linda, can you make it quick?
Yes. LGBTQ member in my family, and I really do not feel that this is of God, and it has been bringing chaos and destruction of our family unity. And can you speak to that?
Thanks, Linda. Monsignor, we have about a minute.
Yeah, these are painful things. You know, a broader issue is all the stuff that goes on in families. It's, you know, being a family member can be a real cross. I would just say we stick with each other, we pray with each other, we work together. So I would just say staying in contact with each other, loving each other, forgiving each other, and trying to stay close as a family unit, even in the midst of a lot of conflict and heartbreak.
Thanks so much, Linda. Monsignor, we're going to have to leave it right there, but I do so much appreciate your perspective on this very important issue. Thanks again for being with us here this morning.
You're welcome, John. God bless you and all.
And that was my conversation with Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, an exorcist, a licensed psychologist, and the author of Diary of an American Exorcist, Demons, Possession, and the Modern-Day Battle Against Ancient Evil. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Our Rome correspondent Ashley Narona will be with us with the latest news on the Holy Father. Stay with us. There's much more to come after this short timeout.
Via, via, vieni via di qui. Niente più ti lega questi luoghi, neanche questi fiori azzurri.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverenst. Good to be with you on another Wednesday morning, and now it's time to bring Rome to home for the latest news from the Vatican. We go live this morning to our Rome correspondent, Ashley Narona. Ashley and her husband, John, founded the Truth and Beauty Project, providing Renaissance-style theological formation for visitors to Rome. You can read much more about them at johnandashley.org. Good morning, Ashley. Buongiorno. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again.
Well, John, good morning to you, and how nice to hear this wonderful Italian music to get us dancing early in the morning.
Absolutely. Just for you, Ashley.
You
know, I caught a little bit of your conversation the other day with Drew after that historic consecration of Russia and Ukraine by Pope Francis. Wanted to just get your firsthand take, your impressions. It was such a beautiful and special consecration.
John, it sure was. And in speaking to everyone there, all they could talk about is the sense of peace that was felt in the air. There are about 3,500 people who managed to be in the Basilica that day, about another 2,000 people in St. Peter's Square watching from the huge jumbotrons out there. But of course, the entire world was united on that day. And I really am calling it a Lepanto moment, because it was an incredible call from the Pope himself for the world to be united in prayer for a particular cause. So it was quite an event.
It really was. And we continue to unite ourselves in prayer, because this prayer needs to continue on. We need to continue fulfilling the desires of the Mother of God, to continue to pray the rosary, to practice the first Saturday devotions, go to confession, everything that she's asking us to do. And who knows how the fruits of this is going to play out here in the weeks and months to come.
Right, exactly. I keep thinking that I am just waiting, expecting grace. So certainly, I think we can comfortably expect those graces to be poured down from the heavens. I remember some of the wording that was used in the during the consecration, that idea of a gentle rhythm of peace starting to flow throughout the world. And of course, happening on the Feast of the Annunciation, remembering the fiat of Our Lady, and that we're all called to that same yes every day in order to achieve peace right where exactly where we are.
And I believe it happened 38 years to the day that St. John Paul II, our hero, consecrated Russia on that very same day. So again, there's no accidents with God's providence.
Right. Back in 1984, he, of course, consecrated Russia, and also Pius XII, Pope John Paul II, again, also consecrated the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And we understand that a renewal of consecration is always a good thing. And we can always use more and more graces, that's for sure.
No question about that. Let's talk about this morning's Wednesday audience. What was the main message of the Holy Father?
John, in today's weekly audience, Pope Francis, he looked to the Gospel of Luke, and specifically to the figures of Simeon and Anna, and he focused on how the elderly build bridges amongst generations. And they do that by offering a sense of spiritual grounding to society, also by teaching how to discern God's presence, by sharpening spiritual senses, and also by demonstrating a personal witness of faith and a trust in the fulfillment of God's promises. And if we look to Luke, it's clear that Simeon knows by a premonition of the Holy Spirit that, of course, he will not die before seeing the Messiah. And Anna is in the temple every day, devoting herself to service there. And he said that both Simeon and Anna are filled with spiritual vitality because they recognize the presence of the Lord in the Christ child, Jesus, who fills them with consolation. And of course, that happens before they bid farewell to life. And he pointed out that with the passing of the years, it can dull physical senses. But he said that old age is a precious time in life because the Holy Spirit can sharpen the spiritual senses. In fact, he said, quote, "Today we need this more than ever, an old age gifted with lively spiritual senses capable of recognizing Jesus." But then he went on to also warn that a society that cultivates eternal youth would be an anesthesia for the spiritual senses. And when that happens, people are not even aware that it is happening. So he said, look to the example of Anna and Simeon and learn to wait for the Messiah. Sharpen those spiritual senses. He said it's critical for the elderly to share that method for how to grow in spiritual sensitivity then with all generations. And finally, John, today the Pope concluded by speaking on the spiritual grounding that comes with it, witness of the elderly, saying that only spiritual old age can actually give a witness. He called it a humble and dazzling witness that is authoritative and exemplary for all, John.
And the Holy Father is going to be busy this weekend. He's mm-hmm. going off on yet another apostolic trip. I believe this is his 36th, this time to Malta. Yes. What can we expect from this papal trip, Ashley?
Well, Pope Francis has expressed that he's very much looking forward to following in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul, who, of course, was warmly welcomed on that island of Malta after he was shipwrecked at sea on his way to Rome. And so amongst the highlights of this trip will be a visit to the Grotto of St. Paul in Rabat, and remembering, of course, that shipwreck back around 60 AD. So the theme of this entire trip comes from Acts 28:2. They showed us unusual kindness. And if you look at the logo of the visit, it shows open hands coming up from a ship and reaching out toward a cross. So the theme is recalling that hospitable, that warm welcome that St. Paul received back in the first century. And also the people, the Maltese people of today, who he says are being very open to welcoming their brothers and sisters. So the Pope will visit four cities. He's going to give five talks over those 2 days. One interesting event is that the Holy Father will board a catamaran, and he's going to sail to the island of Gozo, leaving from La Valletta, which is the capital. And there in Gozo, he's going to preside over a prayer meeting, and he'll also give a talk. And the Pope said that this apostolic journey is going to really offer a unique opportunity to, he said, go to the sources of the proclamation of the gospel and experience for himself that Christian community whose history goes back thousands of years. And by the way, John, 90% of people on the island do profess to be Catholic. So the Pope is expected to receive a very warm welcome there, John.
Well, we'll definitely be keeping an eye on the Holy Father's next trip. I'm sure he'll make a pit stop at St. Mary Major, Santa Maria Maggiore, for prayer in front of the Blessed Mother, as he always does.
Yes, we can definitely expect that, to ask for her maternal blessing on this 36th apostolic trip.
Ashley, as always, I really appreciate your insights, and you always do help us to bring Rome to home to our listeners. Thanks so much.
John, it's a pleasure. Many blessings on you. Buona giornata.
Adios, arrivederci. Ashley Narona, our Rome correspondent, who joins us every Wednesday from the Eternal City. And you can listen to her reports on the Relevant Radio app. Just go to Relevant in Rome. Coming up on Morning Air, Catholic evangelist Omar Aguilar will join us to discuss the importance of confession, especially here in Lent. So stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues after this.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales, coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
She got the way to movement, Jerry. She got the way to movement. All right.
That'll get you going. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Good to be with you this morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. Now, last Friday, Pope Francis set a great example for Lent by going to confession himself and then hearing the confessions of some of the faithful during the penance service before the historic consecration of Ukraine and Russia at St. Peter's Basilica.
Dear sister, dear brother, if your sins frighten you, if your past worries you, if your wounds do not heal, if your constant failings dishearten you and you seem to have lost hope, please be not afraid. God knows your weaknesses and is greater than your mistakes. God is greater than our sins, much greater. He asks of you only one thing, that you not hold your frailties and sufferings inside. Bring them to him. Lay them before him, and from being reasons for despair, they will become opportunities for resurrection. Be not afraid.
powerful message by our Holy Father on God's infinite ocean of mercy. And now joining us is Catholic evangelist and author Omar Aguilar, the Director of Religious Education for Mary Immaculate Church in Farmers Branch, Texas, in the Diocese of Dallas, to talk about the importance of going to confession here during Lent. Omar is also the host of several Catholic and pro-life programs on Spanish radio and television, and the author of the book Latino Católicos en los Estados Unidos, Latino Catholics in the U.S. Good morning, Omar. Thanks again for joining us. It's always great to be with you.
It's always great to be with you, John, and happy Wednesday to everyone.
Happy Wednesday to you, too. I'd love to know your impressions, Omar, of the Holy Father's words from last Friday during that consecration. He urged Catholics to be not afraid to approach God in the sacrament of reconciliation. It's a great reminder for us, and also a great example that he went to confession himself.
Well, yeah, precisely. That's something that I really wanted to talk about. It was just that image of him walking through confession and going to confession. And it reminds me that every time that I go to confession, I feel like, you know, it's this battle. Like, I know that I need to go, but it's taking me a long time, or it's something really hard to do. And for us to see him with the Holy Father, to having the courage to do it in front of millions and millions of people, it's a sign of what we need to do. It's a sign that we need to be aware of this battle within ourselves, right? Because God gives us the free will, the opportunity to choose to do right, and the opportunity to also choose to do wrong. And sometimes we do wrong. We go about things the wrong way. We sin. We fail ourselves. We fail our families. We fail God. And then for some reason we fall under the impression that, you know, this is my sin. I cannot get rid of it. This is something that belongs to me. And this image of the Holy Father on Friday, you know, walking towards confession, it's an opportunity, and it's a good reminder to all of us that sin doesn't own us. You know, that sin is not who we are. So this was really an encouragement to learn and to know that we need to leave it at Jesus' feet. We need to change. We are always, always, always looking for God one way or another, and particularly during Lent, during this time of repentance, during this beautiful time of change. It is a good reminder for us that to know that God is always waiting for us, that yes, indeed, there's a spiritual battle within ourselves. You know, we fail ourselves many, many times. Just last Sunday, the prodigal son, it's a beautiful parable that reminds us that no matter what we do, if we choose so to come back to the Father, he'll be waiting for us with open arms.
Absolutely. And, you know, Omar, I had heard of St. John Paul II during his pontificate going to confession at least once a week. But to see it on worldwide television is such a historic moment just before the consecration of Russia and Ukraine. It was very moving to see the Holy Father. First, he led the faithful in an examination of conscience, which I think was a great example in and of itself, a moment to really reflect on our sins. And then he went to confession to a normal priest who represents Jesus Christ in persona Christi. Just a tremendous example for all of us.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And once again, thinking about Lent, and we still have a few weeks to go, this is the perfect time to recognize that we need to be healed, that we need to be transformed, and that we need to be change. You know, many, many saints talk about confession. You know, Saint Francis of Sales, he gave us in one of his books, he's got a whole chapter devoted to many different ways and how we can go to confession. And one of the things he said that every time we go to confession, we need to go with the intent to change, not to go just for the sake of going because we have to, because we need to, but to have a heart, to have the desire to change. And that's what this image of the Holy Father on Friday represent to all of us, this desire to change, to be different, to give ourselves to God, and to do whatever it takes to change. I remember many years ago, I was dealing myself with something not good. I was doing a sin that I knew it wasn't right. And I remember during my that time that I was reflecting and I was going through it, I went to the Blessed Sacrament, and I was during a holy hour. And I remember I was kneeling down and I was praying to God, and I was saying, please, God, help me to change. Give me a sign. And then like a couple of days later, I went to confession and something beautiful, amazing, a miracle happened. So I went there, I confessed my sins. And I remember at the end of my confession, Father looks at me and he goes, well, why don't you stop? And I remember looking at Father and going like, what? And he said, yeah, why don't you just stop? You need to stop. Well, listen to those words from the priest, which, by the way, is acting precisely, as you just said it, in persona Christi, in the person of Christ, were totally revealing to me. And indeed, thanks be to God, I stopped doing that sin. But I had to go to confession. First of all, I needed to say out loud my sins. I needed to be humble before God and say, listen, I'm failing in these things. And I went in there with the heart committed to change. I really wanted to change. And you know, it didn't take a secret formula or anything. It was just those words coming out of the priest's mouth. You need to stop.
Great story, Omar. You know, I'm always reminded of Father Rocky over the years, who has said that if you do nothing else during Lent, go to confession. If you go to confession, it's going to be a victory here during Lent. So it's never too late. I mean, right up until, you know, Good Friday before Easter Sunday, we want to prepare our hearts for the real meaning of the Easter Triduum.
Oh, absolutely. You still within the time frame to go to confession. And yes, a great advice. If we haven't done anything, if we haven't prayed enough, and if we haven't almsgiving enough, and we haven't fasting enough, or we haven't done it at all, well, we still have time to do something that is particular time. And also, just to be reminded that, you know, going to confession is an act of love. First of all, is to recognize that Christ gave his own life for all salvation, for the sake of our salvation. And secondly, we go there because we know that we need to be loved and we need to go through the proper channel to get that amazing and abundant love, which is the love of God. And so for us also to go to confession, it's an act of courage. It takes courage to go to confession. Sometimes we are weak. Sometimes we feel like I cannot do it. But Christ himself gives us the example by giving up his own life. And so for us, this is something that encourages us to say, wow, if Christ was able and willing to give it all for us, you know, why I can't just go and give myself to God and be open to receive his mercy and his love. And by the way, you know, I always said that God is a horrible businessman, because here we are in the sacrament of confession. You go in, basically you're bringing in nothing but garbage, trash, you know, you're junk. I mean, you're bringing nothing good you're bringing to it. And you're giving it all to God. And in exchange, he's giving you love. He's giving you mercy. And for that, I am thankful that God is such a horrible businessman.
That's very funny. Yeah, our ability to sin is finite. His mercy is infinite. And, you know, you talked about courage and how it takes courage to go to confession. Well, oftentimes the evil one, the enemy, is playing with us. He whispers in our ear that there's no mercy, there's no redemption. You know, you can't make things right. But we can't listen to that voice.
No, absolutely. And remember, from the very beginning, he is a liar. And from the very beginning, you know, he told us, and you will be like gods. And ever since, we're battling with that. Because if we think about it, honestly, you know, why is there, we don't want to get rid of the sin? It's because sometimes the ego, you know, that false lie to say, no, this is mine. In reality, it doesn't belong to us. God has given up his son for us to be saved. And so for us to think like, no, you know, I cannot do it. God will never forgive me this. That's a lie. And that's something that we always need to be aware of, it, that, you know, nothing good comes out of us keeping the sins to ourselves. We need to give them to God. And so it's good to be reminded each and every time that God is always waiting for us. He is always waiting for you in the confessional. So whenever you get a chance, I encourage everyone to be brave, to have courage, to go to the fountain of mercy, to go and hear those beautiful words. I absolve you of all your sins, which, by the way, it's a new beginning. It's a new start. It's a fresh start when we can say, oh, wow, thank you, God. here I go again, and give it our best. And, you know, it's like when when any athlete is asked after a game, right, how do you feel about it? And some of them say, well, you know, I give it 110% and we came on top. And then obviously on the losing part of the team, on the losing team, you know, they will say, well, you know, we didn't play enough, but we're going to try it again. That's us when we got a confession, right? Sometimes it's going to come out perfect. Some of the times we're going to feel like, well, you know, I could have done better or something else. But nonetheless, we need to be present. We need to be active. And definitely, this is the perfect time to just go.
Absolutely. St. Augustine called the confessional the medicine box because there's a physician. The great physician is in there. We're injured. We're aware of the fact that we need healing. We go in with all these sins and we come out clean as a whistle, like a baby. And so that, it's a beautiful image that St. Augustine reminds us, Omar.
Yes, absolutely. Pope Francis has said it more than once, right? That the church is a hospital, right? Where the sick come to be healed. And indeed, confession is this beautiful image of us being healed, being back to this beautiful glow. I don't know. Every time that I see someone coming out of the confessional, I just kind of see them like super bright, and you can see it on their face. You know, you can see the peace, you can feel the love, and so that's something that I'm looking after. I always want to be like that. I always want to be present there, and I always want to say, wow, that person has been healed. And it's a challenge to me because sometimes it seems like I don't want to be healed. It seems like I don't want to be loved. But I'm always reminded that God is always waiting there for us to give us his love and to give us his mercy.
Well, we're going to have to leave it right there. It is definitely the sacrament of joy. Go to confession here during Lent. Omar, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, John. Blessings to all.
Catholic author and evangelist Omar Aguilar. Now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called We Never Told Him He Couldn't Do It by Kathy Lanacusa. My son Joey was born with club feet. The doctors assured us that with treatment he would be able to walk normally, but he'd never run very well. The first 3 years of his life were spent in surgery, casts, and braces. By the time he was 8, you wouldn't know he had a problem when you saw him walk. The children in our neighborhood ran around as most children do during play, and Joey'd jump right in and run and play too. We never told him that he probably wouldn't be able to run as well as the other children, so he didn't know. In 7th grade, he decided to go out for the cross-country team. Every day he trained with the team, he worked harder and ran more than any of the others. Perhaps he sensed the abilities that seemed to come naturally to so many others did not come naturally to him. Although the entire team runs, only the top 7 runners have the potential to score points for the school. We didn't tell him he probably would never make the team, so he didn't know. He continued to run 4 to 5 miles a day, every day, even though he had a 103-degree fever. I was so worried. I went to look for him after school. I found him running all alone. I asked him how he felt. Okay, he said. He had 2 more miles to go. The sweat ran down his face and his eyes were glassy from his fever, yet he looked straight ahead and kept running. We never told him he couldn't run 4 miles with a 103-degree fever, so he didn't know. 2 weeks later, the names of the team runners were called. Joey was number 6 on the list. Joey made the team. He was in 7th grade. The other 6 team members were all 8th graders. We never told him he shouldn't expect to make the team. We never told him that he couldn't do it. We never told him he couldn't do it, so he didn't know. He just did it. Mark 10:27. Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God."
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Father Marcel Tyone is going to share some practical tips to get you through the rest of Lent. Remember, it's not where you start, it's where you finish that counts. And career coach Bruce Lockenauer once again will be with us to continue his series on finding and landing that dream job. We're going to talk about the importance of determining a company's culture. A company's culture can be very important in deciding where you want to go. So again, don't change that dial. We're just warming up here. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues next hour on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.